Good morning. We've got Mark and Alice with us today.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, all.
And we've noticed that we've had quite a few inquiries on NFTs. And so I just thought I'd spend a few minutes today talking to Mark and Alice and educating them as to what an NFT is. Okay, Mark, what's an NFT?
That's a really good question, Michael. I was hoping you were going to tell me. But I understand it is a non-fungible
token.
There we go, token.
Yes. Also the National Film Theatre.
Well, that's true.
No. Slightly different topic.
Yeah.
Going off-piece.
But NFT is a non-fungible token, which is a token which can be bought via the blockchain. Alice, you're looking confused.
The blockchain world is a world that is very complicated, and I think our viewers would benefit from a little bit of explanation.
Just to jump in there quickly, I feel we need to go back to far more basics than that.
Okay.
What does it mean by non-fungible? Because my understanding was, and then, well, correct me if I'm wrong, but it essentially is that it's wholly unique, and because of the blockchain application, it's not, it can't be replaced with something else. Is that right? I mean, I feel I need more information on that from you, Michael.
Yeah, so an NFT is, in essence, a bit of code, right? It's a bit of code that's been created by someone which is in the form of a certificate, any form of digital certificate, which has got code. So if you see, just think of it as a playing card, for example. It's been created by someone which is underlying code, okay? A smart contract is a contract which pretty much everybody uses today, because when you order a cup of coffee via a vending machine, you're using a smart contract. That's a smart contract. In that machine is the technology which you accept the offer to purchase the coffee. There's a contract in place which you put the money in, and the contract establishing that is set out in the smart contract by code through that machine.
Okay, so I've been fibbing a little bit, because as you know, I do know a little bit about this. So for the purposes of Ellis, let's break this down even more. So we've mentioned about what an NFT is. Okay, we're getting a lot of calls from people that are asking questions about how they can, for example, they wish to sell digital assets using NFTs. So just to break it down even more, what is it that we're trying to get across to our listeners today? In terms of the basics, I understand what you've just said there. Ellis, did that make any sense to you at all?
It did. It's almost like a very unique raffle ticket.
A unique raffle ticket. I like
you
that.
You buy the ticket, you get the item, but that ticket is unique to you.
Correct. Now, there's been lots of market activity over the past year. You know, the Christie's and all the auction houses, they're heavily involved. And I see that Beeple, the artist Beeple, it trips off everybody's tongue, sold an NFT for $69 million.
That's a really good one, actually, because this is where it becomes a little bit sort of frowny. If someone's going to sell an NFT for $69 million, they are... What's the contract there? How do we exchange it? I think this probably goes neatly into your point on the vending machine, doesn't it?
Right, yeah, that's the smart contract there. That's in place via the blockchain and the decentralized ledger that the blockchain is.
Okay.
Look, don't get too hung up about the... Obviously, it's interesting to try and to understand how blockchain works, but at the same time, you don't necessarily need to understand how back in the day a video recorder worked, or how you get the TV signal.
You know? Okay, yeah.
I mean, you know, yeah. You can, if you really want to understand about the coding of blockchain, you know, there are, speak to a coder. But let's just say it's a series of computers all set up, which is decentralized, all running this code, which establishes a ledger, which clearly shows in and out and can clearly show the purchase and sale of a digital asset. And that digital asset is unique.
Okay.
So somebody comes along, imagine a Panini sticker. That's your digital certificate. So a baseball card, Babe Ruth, a collector's item. That's your digital certificate. So let's say, for example, let's say a Lamborghini. And you want to have a digital certificate of a Lamborghini. and you take a picture of a Lamborghini and then you create that into a digital certificate. You then post that via the various NFT websites that are offering these NFTs the ability to sell and deal in NFTs. And you join a website and you then purchase that card as such. And that is yours, subject to the laws of intellectual property, which is a discussion for other sessions. Does that help?
I think it's the exclusivity, isn't it? People are, in the world where everything is instantly accessible, people want something that's unique and exclusive to them. So this is a way of people being able to do that via the website, via the internet, through blockchain, and people who like to collect artwork or cards, or like you say, like to collect things, are going to move into more of a digital collection world.
I mean, it's fraught with risk. It's the market is going to be up and down every 5 minutes.
It's new, isn't it? Everything new is risky.
And it's prone for abuse by grifters and shysters and, you know, counterfeiters. And it's going to be a tremendous playground for lawyers.
Well,
because it's going to become, almost every brand is going to be NFT'd at some point and sold as those images. That's what's happening now. I mean, if you can go to, there's a website called, I think it's called Zed, and that you can actually create your own racehorse as a digital artwork and race that horse and win. And you can create it from nothing and grow it and beat, and then you can breed that horse to get yourself an own. And this is how it's going. All these websites, mainly in the States and in Australia and China, they're just streets ahead of what's going on and how the mainstream is looking at this. In 20 years' time, when I'm 75, this will be the mainstream. When I'm 95, it's just going to be completely normal. So, from a legal perspective, we're not really that sure as to how the law will apply to this, because there isn't any laws really that apply. It's existing laws need to apply to what we're facing. So it's the existing intellectual property legislation, it's the existing data protection legislation, and it's the existing e-commerce legislation, which is relevant here. Our legislation will need to be updated over the next 2 to 3 years, and I'm sure it will be. But for now, we just apply English law contractually to the same problems that one would do offering any goods and services, applying it to the crypto world. That's my view.
Interesting. Okay, because I was just about to say, well, what about the law? And you've just answered that in the space of about 20 seconds, so that was really useful.
So, as you can see, it's the blind leading the blind, but overall, I think Laudit's in a good position to help you on this, because, you know, we've assisted Litecoin over the years, and we've been involved in crypto and NFTs for at least 5 years. So, if this is of interest to you, there's a separate page on NFTs and cryptos, which this will link to when you see the podcast on the website. All right, all the best. Thank you, Ellis. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Michael. Thanks, everybody. Take care.